King County's not alone in its struggle with aging infrastructure. There are about 200 city and state-owned bridges in Seattle, and they are getting old. Many of our bridges have already outlived their intended lifespan. Take the Fairview Avenue North Bridge. It's the last one in Seattle that was built on timber supports. And according to John Buswell from the Seattle Department of Transportation, at 68 years old, it's time for this bridge to be replaced.
It's not in the best shape. There's over 140 timber piling driven down into the mud of Lake Union, and that's what supports the roadway up above. Timber, even though this is treated timber, it typically would last 40 to 50 years, so we're well beyond the expected life, and we've been doing things to try to keep it going and making sure that it's safe, but it's time to replace this bridge.
But that's not that easy. Buswell says the city doesn't actually have the funding to address all the repairs and replacements that Seattle's aging bridges need.
We have about 49 bridges that are 70 years or older. The replacement cost for that's over $1 billion. And currently we're investing somewhere around $16 million a year.
And we're not just talking bridges here. Steve Mensch is a professor of civil engineering at the University of Washington. He told Ross Reynolds most of Seattle's transportation infrastructure is in bad shape, and we face some unique challenges in fixing it.
You know, we're a little bottled up in Seattle when it comes to major routes, right? We have a lake on one side, and we have the ocean on the other side, so we don't really have many options, right? We have kind of, I think, a unique challenge in fixing a lot of these things, and that's true of a lot of modern transportation infrastructure is you can't just close it. You know, 50, 75 years ago when there wasn't a bridge, they could just build the bridge. They didn't have to worry about the traffic that was already using it and where was it going to go. But if you look at the 520 bridge out here or this tunnel underneath Seattle, part of the drivers for doing these things the way they're doing them and contributing to the cost of this is you can't just tell the traffic to go home for 2 years. It's very difficult.
If you look around Seattle, what do you think are the biggest problems facing the transportation infrastructure?
The problem is the same everywhere. It's generally old. We don't take care of it with enough resources and effort, and it's getting older. And it turns out, the older it gets, as you might suspect, the more it costs to fix it. You can almost think of it like credit card debt, right? You know, it's we've got this huge backlog of work. That's what we owe on our credit card. And then it gets worse every year the longer we let go. That's the interest we're throwing on top of that with our credit card. So it's like we rung up this huge debt, and it's really difficult to get out of.
How did we get to this point? Have we always not taken care of our infrastructure in Seattle?
Very generally, I think as humans, we have a difficult time taking care of stuff. It's not the most fun thing to do. It's not the most rewarding thing to do. But yeah, we've had a longstanding tradition of underfunding taking care of infrastructure. And, you know, the price of building stuff has gone up way faster or way more than inflation. And we haven't kept up with our funding mechanisms. And then the other thing is, you know, we're still in this phase where it's, you know, incrementally worse every year. And we really haven't had that huge crisis yet. We've gotten pretty lucky a few times. Like, if you look at the Interstate 5 bridge that fell into the Skagit River a couple years ago, if you look at its bridge rating at the time, it was like a 54.7, which, you know, if that's your score on a test out of 100, which is what these ratings are, you're not happy. And there was a fair amount of concern about that. Now, fast forward, if you look in downtown Seattle at the viaduct, those are actually a series of bridges, and they have ratings. And I think currently the latest data from the Federal Highway Administration, their ratings are, I think, a 9 and a 12.5. They're not very high. And if you look at them, basically the conclusion is, it needs to be replaced as quickly as possible, which is why we're digging that tunnel. Although we did spend a decade or two thinking about exactly what we wanted to do.
Some people might be sitting back going, wait a second, I pay my taxes. That seems like that should be at the top of the list of what government would provide me, a police service, fire service, roads and bridges. So why aren't they in good shape?
If you look at sort of, you know, what's required to take care of all this stuff, and I think here's a good rule of thumb, $10,000 for every lane mile of road you have. So one lane, 1 mile long, about $10,000. So you can do the math and kind of figure out ballpark what you need. You need about $40 million citywide per year just to keep up with what's going on. If you want to cut into the deficit, you need more than that. So typically, we're falling short of what we need to even keep up. And so we're falling further behind. And it's the same at the county, and it's the same at the state level, same kind of story. You know, they all kind of say roughly the same thing, is if you want to dig ourselves out of this backlog of work and out of this hole, it's probably going to cost you maybe three times what we're paying per year now, and it's probably going to take you a decade or two. So it's a long-term commitment and a change in the mindset about how much it costs to maintain transportation infrastructure. So it's partially a funding issue, but it's partially a communication issue.
What are kind of the core reasons why the funding is difficult to assemble to do this stuff?
You know, funding transportation infrastructure has traditionally been through taxes, whether it's a gas tax or whether it's a property tax or something else. And I think the cost of doing some of these really big projects, and even the cost of doing this year-to-year maintenance, is getting to the point where, you know, as a general public, we really don't have the stomach for paying for that. So, you know, the question is, and I really don't have the answer to this one, is, you know, are we really using the right funding mechanism to do this? Is this a sustainable funding mechanism on into the future? You know, in the 50s, it seemed to work all right. But today we're having a lot of problems. So if you look at least some of the major projects around the country, you're seeing things like public-private partnerships where, you know, if you've got a $1 billion piece of highway you're building, you may actually get investment from private organizations maybe that are controlling a fair amount of retirement funds or things like that, that are looking for something long-term to invest in. And so the public actually doesn't have to front the money for something. Or you're looking at, and this is very common worldwide, is granting a franchise to a private organization to basically run the road for you, right? We do that with a lot of other stuff. We just haven't really got there for roads in the U.S. yet. There's a few around the country, but in other countries, it's very common to say, hey, it's your road for 75 years. Here's our standards that you need to maintain. You can't charge more than this and that for a toll. Have at it.
That's Steve Mensch, a professor of civil engineering at the University of Washington. He spoke with Ross Reynolds. Mayor Ed Murray of Seattle has proposed a $900 million transportation levy to address some infrastructure issues in the city. That goes before voters in November. At the state level, the House passed a $7.7 billion transportation budget last week, and that goes now to the Senate.